Once again, as we look into 1 Samuel 17 and the account of David defeating the Philistine Goliath, there are a number of things that I want to draw your attention to. First of all, David's confidence in God and his giving of glory to God in all that he was about to do, but also in his past deliverances. Secondly, how swift he was both to be about his Father's business and then to be about his Heavenly Father's business. And thirdly, which I shall look at first, the attitude of his elder brother, the one who Samuel thought was surely the one that God had chosen to be king in place of Saul. But he showed himself to be a thoroughly unworthy person. Namely, if we look at verse 28, that he despised his younger brother and made false accusations against him. He, of course, was part of the army, along with a number of the other sons of Jesse, who were all trembling when Goliath was issuing his challenges. Every time Goliath appeared on the scene, they were all terrified, including, of course, Eliab. And so Eliab, his eldest brother, verse 28, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why camest thou down hither? With whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." So here, this eldest brother was really sneering at him and diminishing him before the other men. And I suspect it is like a lot of God's people who are afraid to take their stand, but when somebody does try to take a stand, they are inclined to denigrate them and apply false reasons as to why they are doing or intending to do what they do. We have experienced that ourselves in the matter of witnessing against LGBT, for instance, that there have been letters in Christian publications decrying what we're doing and making false accusations against us, including pride was one that has mentioned. And I believe that this is because they feel guilty that they have been cowardly and have not taken a stand. And what often guilty people do, they make accusations against those who do take a stand in order to excuse their own cowardice. And so his whole attitude here, first of all, it says he was angry. Why should God's people be angry against those who take a stand against wickedness? One would have thought they would be glad to do so and encourage them, not glad to take decry them, but should be glad that there are those who are taking a stand. And if they can't encourage them by being there themselves, at least they could encourage them with appropriate words. "Well, we're praying for you, and we trust you'll be kept safe, and you know that you have a good witness." that at least one would think that Christians would have such an attitude, but no. You have this anger, and you feel it when you speak to these people as well as reading about their comments and so on. And then it says, with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? You know, denigrating. Well, they might apply it this way. Well, you know, you're few. You've got a few in your church, type of thing. We've got a big congregation. You've got just a few. You know, this is the sort of thing you do get. Who do you think you are? You just want to make a name for yourself. You want to be on show. These are things that have been said. It's the same thing. I know thy pride and naughtiness of thine heart, that thou mightest come down, that thou mightest see the battle. Well, of course, David had been sent by his father, and the fact is, Eliab would have known this, in that David, when he came down, you know, he took the goods with him and so on into the army. But you see, Eliab was angered. Here's the youngest brother, and the youngest brother is showing him up and all the others, because he's saying, well, who's this uncircumcised Philistine? I mean, well, who is he? What shall happen to those who, you know, fight against them? His whole attitude is different. They're all their teeth are chattering, so to speak, because it was as David came into the army that they were preparing. They put the battle in array, verse 21. And they were shouting, you know, to encourage themselves, really. That's what they do, to shout. And soon as the Philistine appears, all the teeth are chattering, so to speak. And all their shouting is for nothing. It's just shouting into the wind, as it were. And so David is inquiring, well, you know, what's happening here? And so when the brother hears what he's saying, he immediately seeks to denigrate him and cut him down and discourage him. But I suggest to you, it was because he was feeling guilty himself, that he didn't have the courage that David had to face up to the enemy. The second thing we note about David is his alacrity in doing whatever he was supposed to do, because when his father, in verse 17, Jesse said to him to take down some food for his brethren and a gift, as it were, to the captain, because they were in the army fighting. Well, they weren't fighting, they were just shouting. And David rose up early in the morning. He didn't hang around. He was quick to obey, rather like Samuel. He obeyed his father, he did what he was told to do, and he headed straight off to where the army was entrenched. And he says he came and he saluted his brethren, verse 22. So Eliab knew he was there and why he had come. And then it was at that stage that Goliath made his appearance, defying the army of Israel, and that's when David heard. And what did he see? He saw all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him. We're so afraid. So David observes all this. And then the other men said to him, well, have you seen this man? And so on. And then they said, whoever fights and kills him, the king will give him his daughter, and his father's house will be free in Israel. That's, by the way, is why Saul was asking whose son this is. Because I thought to myself, well, he knows who David is, because David was playing the harp for him already. See that in the previous chapter. So, well, why was that? Surely he knows who David is, but he didn't know whose son he was. And the reason being that if David succeeded, his father Jesse would be a free man in Israel. He wouldn't have to pay any taxes, so to speak. And of course, afterwards, David did marry Saul's daughter, Michal, who turned out to be a bit of a thorn in the flesh, as it happened. So that's why you find the king asking Abner, whose son is this? I thought of myself, well, has he forgotten who he is? But no, it's whose son is he? So that settles that. And so David is asking about this, and he says in verse 26, immediately it shows his attitude. David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and take away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? I've remarked on this before. See, David's attitude is totally different. He's not frightened. If anything, he's offended. He's offended by the cowardice of the Israelites. He's offended because Israel is reproached because of their cowardice, one man. And his attitude is, well, who's going to take away the reproach? And who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Because Israel, of course, their army was, notionally at any rate, the army of God. In fact, it actually was there to fight against the Philistines. So he's offended by their cowardice, by the fact they're being reproached because of their cowardice, that it is an uncircumcised Philistine that's doing it against the army of the living God. In other words, that God is being reproached, as it were, because of the behavior of the army. And the people answered him and told him what would be done, and then that's when David's eldest brother, he said what he said. Now, I preached before on verse 29, so I'm not going to do it again. David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? There was a cause, and there is a cause. I just briefly, I won't go over what I said some months ago. God's honor was at stake here, in that Israel were God's people. The Philistines, the children of the devil, are defying them. And God's army, the people, are terrified. There was a cause. It was error against truth, the devil's crowd against the Lord's people, and the Lord's people were cowering and frightened, terrified indeed, running away. Remind you of anything? There was a cause, and there is a cause today. Because God's people are, an awful lot of them are in fact terrified, to say boo to a goose, as we would say. They're allowing the Philistines to run roughshod over us. How few they are to stand up and be counted. How few they are concerned for God's honor. That we as God's people should be so weak and fearful against the devil's crowd. Why should we be? If we believe we are indeed God's people and he is for us. And so eventually this came to the ears of Saul. And as we looked at last week, well, Saul said, you're not able to fight this fellow. You know, you're just what he is. You're just a young man. This fellow has been a warrior from his youth upwards, and there's no way you could fight with him. But David then hearkens back to experiences he had of God's deliverance in his role as a shepherd of the sheep. Now, I did say to you the reason David wasn't called by Jesse in the first instance, because, well, the one that was out looking after the sheep was sort of the bottom of the pecking order, you know. He didn't even consider David. He's just the lad. He's way out there in the mountains with the sheep somewhere, type of thing. So it didn't enter into Jesse's head to even call him. And he, though, while he was out there with the sheep, he defended them. He was a true shepherd against a lion and a bear. But again, he doesn't say, what a great fellow I am in doing this. He gives the glory to God, because he said, thy servant, verse 36, slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Once again, he is concerned that God's people are being defied by the uncircumcised Philistine, and they're terrified. And then he goes on to say, David said, moreover, the paw of the lion, the Lord that delivered me out of the power of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. In other words, he gives the glory to God for his past deliverances. After all, he was but a youth. Lions and bears are pretty formidable beasts, as we know. And he might have sort of said to himself, well, I let them have that one. I'm not going to put my life in danger. But you see, he took his job seriously. He was just a lad. He was looking after the sheep. He's of no account in many ways, but he was determined to be faithful in that calling he had been given. And as the Bible says, you know, I think the Bible certainly indicates, if you're faithful in little, you'll be faithful in much. But if you're not faithful in the little things, neither will you be if you're given greater things. And so David, on both occasions, went after these beasts, and he killed them, but he gives the glory to God. He says it was the Lord who delivered him from that situation. He didn't say, what a great man I am, what a, you know, brave fellow and all the rest of it. He doesn't mention that. He gives the glory to God. And he said, but God delivered me out of those wild beasts' claws, and he delivered me. The same God will deliver me out of the hands of this Philistine. And then we saw, as last week, the Saul went to put on his armor, and David said, well, I haven't proved it. And so he put it off. And then, as David goes out to meet the Philistine sneers at him, as well he might, and cursed him by his gods. He says, am I a dog that comest out to me with staves? Because David took a staff in his hand. I mean, that's all he had. No armor. No visible armor. But he did have armor. He had the shield of faith. He had faith in God, absolute faith in God. It wasn't visible, but it was better than the shield that Goliath had. So here he is, just he is, no armor, he has a staff in his hand, a bag at his side, and a sling. And there's this giant with all his armor, huge, huge spear, huge sword, armored from top to bottom. And so, of course, he's absolutely dismissive of David. And he cursed him. And he said, I will give your flesh to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. And David answered him. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. There was a shield of faith. He didn't say, I am going to do this and I am going to do that because I'm such a strong youth and all the rest of it. He's putting his trust in God and he's bearing testimony to the Philistine that it is the God of Israel he's putting his trust in. And he said, this day the Lord, here it is again, the Lord will deliver thee into my hand. He's giving glory to God. And I will smite thee, take thine head from thee. I will give thee carcasses of the host of the Philistines. See, he had faith not only that the Goliath would be defeated, but the whole army of the Philistines would be defeated. Because he said, what was his object? He said that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. He wanted the nations round about, as well as the Philistines, to know there was a God in Israel, the true God, rather than that this word would go out that the army of God of Israel were terrified by one man, which they were. And what a reproach that would be. It would embolden the other enemies to come against them. This, of course, is another reason why all sorts of wicked individuals and organizations are emboldened now to come against the church, because the church is so weak and fearful. And then he said, not only that the earth may know there's a God of Israel, but he said, all this assembly, perhaps he was referring to the Gentiles as well as the Israelites, but I suspect he was referring to the Israelites, that all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Again, he gives the glory to God. He recognizes God's honor is at stake here. And because the battle is the Lord's, he will give me the victory. And God's honor is at stake when we go out to battle. You know, it's not our honor, it's not our name, it's God's honor. Now God could do it without us. God could have sent a bolt of lightning down, as he did on other occasions, he caused the great storm and the ground to shake and so on. But it is God's purpose and way of doing things normally, namely his people. He works through his people. He uses his people. As Paul says in Corinthians, the things that are not to bring to naught the things that are. And so David understood this. And he had faith in God. He said, the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. There was no boasting by David of himself. His whole testimony was for the honor of God and faith in God. A And when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, what did David do? He ran toward him. He didn't belong to the runaway army of the Christians today, or the hideaway army. He ran to meet him. Boy, the Philistine must have been astonished. Here, all the others, all scared stiff. And this youth, he doesn't show any fear whatever. He doesn't cringe and start to back away. He runs toward him. And as he's running, he pulls a stone out of the back. Slang it, dead on. As I said, no doubt he was skillful with that sling anyway, because the shepherds often used it to, if a sheep was strayed, they'd just drop a stone right in front of their nose and bring them back, you know. And he'd have plenty of time, no doubt, to practice, but we can also believe that God directed that stone. And down he went. I mean, the stripling. No armor. Stone. But it sank into his forehead. It went with great force. And down he went. And as I say, of course, the stone indicative of God's judgment, as I said last week. And the result was that David then ran and he used Goliath's own sword to kill him. And the Philistines, when they saw their champion was dead, they were now the ones who were terrified. You know, we need to see God's fear coming upon the wicked. And the children of Israel, well, now they're all brave. They're encouraged. The men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines till they come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. It was a tremendous victory, because, as the king said in verse 36, inquire thou whose son this stripling is. This man who had no experience of battle, but had fought and faced down a lion and a bear, but his faith was in God. He was concerned for the honor of God, and indeed the honor of God's army, who were in fear and trembling. That was his whole motivation, and his whole trust was in God. And God amply rewarded him, as it were, by that trust, in that he scored that tremendous victory. So that even to this day in this country, people sometimes refer to a David and Goliath situation. You know, it's gone into the normal conversation of people. They know about David and Goliath. It used to be, of course, in Sunday school, we always heard about David and Goliath, and of course we were thrilled, all thought ourselves little Davids type of thing. But he's an object lesson. And being concerned for the honor of God and the honor of God's truth and the necessity of going forward in faith, believing that God will honor our testimony and our witness, so that in due time, well, we know from the word of God, truth will prevail. For Christ said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Ultimately, truth will prevail. Ultimately, the church will triumph. But at the moment, there's a great deal of fear and trembling and cowardice in the face of the enemy. We need more Davids to be raised up, to have the same faith that he had, the same confidence in God. No confidence in ourselves. Because without God we're nothing and can do nothing. But if we have our confidence in God, then we may see the enemy overcome and destroyed. Amen.